Hey sis, welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. Now, real quick before we get into the show, did you know that this podcast is a spinoff from a book that I wrote? Yes, Mom Keys to Mental Peace, 12 Tips to Become a Healthy Mom and Raise Healthy Children. In this book, I share my story about how I identified toxic patterns of thinking about life and motherhood. I share how God helped me to transform by the renewal of my mind. I didn't want to keep this revelation to myself, so I packaged it in a book to share how you can transform your mindset and lifestyle too. This book is for anyone who desires to break unhealthy generational patterns in their family, want to build healthier and stronger relationships with their children, or for anyone who wants to overcome the battle of negative thoughts in their mind. After reading this book, you will learn how to gain confidence in who you are as a mother, handle unhealthy thinking patterns when they appear in your mind, and position yourself to achieve mom life balance. This book is available wherever books are sold, and the link will be in the show notes. Now let's get to the show. Welcome to the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast. I'm your host and sister in Christ, Tari Kaya Allen Butler. This is a podcast for millennial moms who struggle with limiting beliefs and want to learn how to make over their mindsets and level up their lifestyle in faith and family. Tap in each week for the Mom Keys to Mental Peace podcast, where you will learn major keys to stop coming up short on your goals and start leveling up for the type of lifestyle you desire God's way. Ready to level up? Let's do it. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our OG listeners. So happy to have you here. And welcome to our new listeners. I'm so happy to have you here as well. So I don't really have a flow or like a main event this month as far as, you know, the topics, but God has been giving me some more faith-based topics to share. So we're going to kick off April with that. I pray that you all had a great Easter, that you were able to, you know, spend time with your family and just reflect on the goodness of God, child, and what he did. And the heaviness of what it meant for him to send his son, Jesus Christ, to earth to die for our sins. Like, I really just pray that you reflected on that and just express your gratitude to God in that way. So today's episode is titled Spiritual Maturity versus Spiritual Immaturity. All right, y'all, this is a topic that it just gets my spirit excited and going, like, because I be seeing things going on or seeing certain behaviors of people, in particular Christians or believers, that just really irritates me in regards to maturity and immaturity. I feel like there comes a point in time where being immature is not funny at all. And I feel like it's something that people joke about or make light of to, you know, kind of excuse their behaviors. But it's like, baby, at some point we have got to mature in our faith. We have got to mature in our speech and our actions. So that's what we're going to jump into today, okay? Spiritual maturity versus spiritual immaturity. All right, let's lay the foundation. What is the definition of immature? Immature means not fully developed, having or showing an emotional or intellectual development appropriate for someone younger, childish, babyish, or naive. So this makes me think about when I have to do lunch duty with the third graders. Y'all, they do some of the most childish stuff in that lunchroom. They throw food at each other. They bicker back and forth with each other. They're always touching each other and doing things. And I find myself thinking, like, y'all are in here acting so childish. But then I have to stop and think, Tari, they are children. This is a development or a behavior that is appropriate for their age group. As much as it gets on my nerves, they're behaving appropriately because they are children. Okay. Now, the definition of mature means fully developed, having reached an advanced stage of mental or emotional development, characteristics of an adult. This means sensible, responsible, dependable, wise, level-headed, and practical. Okay, that is the definition of mature. And I will say there are a lot of adults who mirror the definition of immature because age does not equal maturity. Maturity is found in your emotional and intellectual development. This means how you think and act, okay? As Christians, as believers, we should be maturing or developing in our thoughts and actions daily, okay? So some questions to ask yourself just to reflect. How do you respond to conflict, trials, or when things don't go the way that you expected them to? What thoughts and beliefs do you dwell on daily? Do your thoughts and actions look similar to the world or to God's kingdom standards? Okay. And as we go through today's talk, I'm going to help you answer those questions if you weren't sure of those answers right now. Okay. So being emotionally mature is connected to your spiritual maturity. Okay. I'm going to say that again. Your emotional maturity is connected to your spiritual maturity, all right? Your emotions, how you act, your outbursts, certain things like that are connected to your spiritual maturity. I did a little bit of studying to prepare for today in 1 Corinthians. This is a great book to study in the Bible on spiritual maturity. So just a quick little backdrop on 1 Corinthians. This is Paul's letter to the Corinthians about their sins and shortcomings. He calls all Christians to be careful not to blend in with the world and accept its values and lifestyles. This book also explains that true Christian freedom, it also explains what true Christian freedom means. We must live a Christ-centered, blameless, loving life and make a difference for God. Okay, we should be the light and the example of what it means to live a Christ-centered life, right? And Jesus is our example of how to do that. It makes me think back on the good old 90s, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I think we kind of need to bring that back into 2024 because there are certain actions that we see, there are certain words that are being said or just certain things that are being done. And it's like, you claim to be a Christian, but is that something that Jesus would do? Is that somewhere Jesus would go? Is that something Jesus would say? Is that how Jesus would treat that person? You know, really having him as that standard in mind, I feel like will help us when it comes to that. We don't want to ruin our witness by the way that we act or think, okay? Think about how many pastors, okay, in this world and on this internet have ruined the witness of Jesus Christ or what it means to be a Christian based off their worldly actions, right? Stealing money from the church or leading people astray or abusing their members, you know, taking advantage of them. Some pastors have gone as far as to, you know, sexual abuse and things with their members. Like, that ruins the witness of what it means to be a Christian, and which is why, especially when this stuff is exposed on the internet, if you go in the comment section, I will assure you, you'll see somebody that says, this is why I don't go to church, this is why I'm not a Christian, all that stuff is fake, they fake, this, that, and a third, okay? So really keep that in mind with your mental and emotional maturity when you're out here in the world. We are supposed to be the light and example of what it looks like to have a relationship to Christ. Are we looking like the world with how we act and speak, or are we mirroring and looking like what Jesus looks like. Okay. And here is like the most stamped scripture when it comes to maturity versus immaturity. And this was found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Okay. You may have heard this before. I know this is a very popular scripture, but that's where it comes from. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. We should not speak, think, and respond to certain situations the same way we did when we were younger. Okay. Oh my gosh. Like, if you are 30, 40 plus, still responding to situations that you did the same way as you did when you was a teenager, baby, we've got some maturing to do, okay? One example is if you have a disagreement with somebody and you feel like fighting or low-blowing that person and cussing them out is the response to that situation, baby, you have some maturing to do, okay? Now, I will say, teenage Tari, that was my go-to. If you disrespected me or we disagreed about something, oh, I'm coming for your jugular. I am low blowing. I have so much to say from the mouth, and we can fight if you want to. Even though I could not fight, I knew that certain things that I said may result in a fight, and I was ready to do that, you know, if it had to come to that. That is a childish response to conflict and to disagreement. So if you are an adult, okay, at your big age, and still feel like you have to cuss people out, or you have to fight somebody because y'all disagree, baby, that is a sign of immaturity, okay? This also makes me think about hypocritical Christians who claim to love God, but act in a completely different way, all right? Pick a side and stand on it, all right? Don't be back and forth or saying you're a Christian, but acting in a non-Christian way, okay? And I feel like sometimes we make excuses for this, like, oh, God know my heart, or God's still working on me. But there's some things that we're doing by a choice, okay? We're choosing to do without thinking about the consequences, without thinking about our witness, or without thinking about, is this something that Jesus would do? Does this represent him, right? We have to keep those things in mind. So as I share information in today's episode, I want you to examine your values and lifestyle in light of a complete commitment to Christ. Not a partial commitment, but a complete commitment to Christ, okay? So let's get into some immature versus mature behaviors, all right? One of the first immature versus immature behaviors is complaining versus gratitude, all right? So have any of you all seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, all right? And I have to say it with my British accent, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I don't know why I feel like I had to say that movie like that, but yes. Think about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, okay? When everybody was searching for the golden ticket, we know there were like 5 kids that were chosen. Now, at the beginning of the movie, it goes through each child that found the golden ticket. And a lot of them had like this spoiled attitude to them or just lacked gratitude. But there was one particular girl whose dad hired a whole factory of workers. And their one job was to open Willy Wonka chocolate bars all day in hopes to find the golden ticket. So somebody ended up finding the golden ticket and the dad presented it to the daughter. Like, you know, here you go. We found it. This is what you've been wanting. Y'all, she takes the golden ticket and then says, Daddy, I want a pony. All right. So let's pause there. She doesn't even say thank you. And think about all that her dad had to go through to hire those people to come in there and do that job of opening chocolate bars. Like, that just blows my mind. She just takes the ticket and says, Daddy, I want a pony. She doesn't even tell him thank you. Think about how you would feel or react as a parent if your child did that or acted that way to you. Woo, child. I think I would be seeing red. it definitely would not be a pretty sight if that was how they reacted to me going through all of this to provide something for them or to give them a desire that they had. Now, sometimes we are that way with God, and it's immature behavior. For example, God may give us the new job that we prayed for, but now we're upset because we aren't married, right? Or God gives us the new house that we prayed for, but now we're upset because we know somebody else that got a bigger house than ours. Practicing gratitude takes emotional maturity. It's immature and worldly to constantly desire more and more things. And I have scripture to back that up. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind." I have another scripture to back that up. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts." That's the emotional maturity. "And mine." That's the intellectual maturity. "As you live in Christ Jesus." Okay. The next immature versus mature behavior is when it comes to the word. Okay. And I'm going to break this down and call it milk versus meat. Okay. Let me explain. I'm going to start off with scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world?" All right, and then I have a little excerpt from my study Bible that goes in deeper detail about this scripture. Paul called the Corinthians infants in Christ because they were not yet spiritually healthy and mature. The proof was that they were quarreling like children, allowing divisions to distract them. Immature Christians often act like people of the world and are controlled by their own desires. Mature believers are in tune with God's desires. How much influence does your desires have on your life? Your goal should be to let God's desires be yours, okay? Being controlled by your own desires will stunt your growth. All right, so let's back up to the top where he said, "I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready." So think about a baby's journey when it comes to them eating, right? A newborn starts off on milk. Then as they get older, you move them up to baby food, which is just like pureed or mashed food. And then they go to solid food. So you do this for the safety of the baby, right? What they're able to consume and control in a safe way. There are a lot of adults, child, still feeding on milk spiritually. What does this look like? They are still addressing sin that they know they should not be doing. They are still feeling like they have to earn salvation and get saved every week to cover their sin. Or they are still cussing people out and have a bad attitude with others when they don't get their way. All of that is milk behavior or immature behavior if you claim to be a Christian. Now, if you are of this world and you don't claim to be a Christian, then you would expect someone to act that way, right? But if you claim to be a believer, baby, that is immature behavior. Then, we have learned that God's word is daily bread, right? So you have to ask yourself, what are you being fed by the pastors that you listen to? So back on up to the scripture where Paul was like, you know, I had to feed you milk because you weren't ready for solid food. So he knew like where the congregation was or where the Corinthians were in regards to what they could understand spiritually. So he's still, this means that he's still having to address worldly things, right? Like their sexual sin and other things that he addresses in Corinthians, a lot of worldly behavior he still had to address. And he compared that to being an infant, right? So again, I ask you, what are you being fed by the pastors that you listen to? Are they feeding you with milk? This could be sermons that make you feel good, that please your flesh, or are only about you, right? There's this new term that I've been hearing lately about, I know there was like prosperity gospel where it talks about if you do this, then God will bless you with money. But now there's this thing about, you know, fulfilling your purpose. Like everything is about you and what you need to do on earth and how you need to fulfill your purpose and you. And it's like, no, we should be being taught about God, like being taught about us and our desires and things that please our flesh. That is milk. That is milk teaching. And it's not growing us or maturing us, right? It's very immature way of teaching. Now you can ask yourself, are you being fed solid food? These are sermons that convict you, correct you, and teach you about God, right? So it's not you-centered, it's God-centered. It's centered on, you know, showing areas in your life that need to be improved and challenging you to improve those areas and not be comfortable and settled in them and saying things like, oh, God knows my heart, or God is still working on me. Well, how are you partnering with him to make those changes, right? How are you partnering with him to mature and grow? All right. And the last thing for immature versus mature behavior is being judgmental versus non-judgmental. Y'all, this one really gets my gears going. So I'll start off with scripture, Matthew 7, verses 1-5. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Woo, child. I feel like sometimes we, for starters, we don't read our Bible. Okay, some of us don't read our Bible. But this scripture really convicted me when I first started getting serious about my walk with God in regards to gossiping about people, right? All gossiping is judging other people for where they are and what they're doing in their life. And I realized with this, like, oh, so if I gossip and judge and talk about people, then that means that people are going to gossip, judge, and talk about me. But hey, if I don't judge, gossip, and talk about people, then hopefully people will not judge, gossip, and talk about me. And since I've made that connection, you know, over the years, I have not been in any type of gossip and drama. I have not heard my name come up in any mess because I'm not bringing anybody's name up in any mess. When I see somebody going through on social media, I'm not calling a friend up to gossip and laugh and judge them. And even if I do talk about certain things that I see on social media, my tone is different, right? It's coming from a place of compassion, or how can I pray for this person? Or I pray that they get help with that situation, right? It's not judging them or condemning them or looking down on them. I still have compassion if it is something that I see and I discuss. So there has been a complete shift with that. And I have seen the shift and the return for that, okay? It is so easy to point out what's wrong with everybody else, but it's hard to see what we need to fix within ourselves. I feel like now at this stage of my walk with God, I'm aware of the log in my eye, which causes me to be mindful of pointing out specks in other people's eyes. Now, think about the comparison of that, a speck versus a log, right? A speck is something very, very small. It's tiny, okay? This means that for you to notice the speck in somebody else's eye, that you are paying extremely close attention to what that person is doing wrong, and you're pointing out every little flaw that you notice in them. When you can see everything wrong with everybody else, but can't take accountability to where you are wrong, baby, immaturity, okay? That is immature. God is the ultimate judge in our life, period. And think about this, with him being the ultimate judge in our life, he did not approach people with specks in their eyes with harsh judgment. Instead, he approached them with respect and compassion. This makes me think about the woman at the well when he revealed to her that, you know, I know that you have been with multiple men. You know, the man that you're with right now is not your husband. He wasn't coming at her with a judgmental demeanor, even though he is the main and final judge in our life, right? He came to her with respect and compassion for her situation. Again, that is how we should be. Being aware of your own sins helps you to extend compassion to others, okay? So for example, instead of saying, oh, she's a hoe because she messes around with a lot of men, when you understand your log in your eye, it shifts your perspective. So you can say, she's not a hoe. She's just searching for love in the wrong places, maybe because she was hurt and abused in her past, all right? Also, telling your story and acknowledging where God brought you from helps you to extend compassion to others instead of judgment. If you feel like people are always coming for you, examine what you are putting out there into the world, okay? All right, now we're going to get into five signs of spiritual maturity. And I found this really good article. I'll have the link in the show notes. But it's so good and so rich. I'm just going to go through and kind of share what the article says for each sign of spiritual maturity. So the first sign of spiritual maturity is that they base their reactions on scripture and God's character instead of their own feelings and emotions. As we know, our heart and emotions can stray us. Y'all, they are not dependable, okay? But God's word and his character should be the standard. So the most spiritually mature people I know are usually the most emotionally mature. We talked about that earlier. They base their choices on the wisdom of scripture and logic and exhibit fruits of the spirit in their life. Those are those character traits of God, especially the self-control part. They take time to assess and evaluate situations and treat others how they want to be treated. They don't deflect onto others their own issues and are aware of this in their interactions and judgments. We literally just talked about that. They stop and think first before they act. They also tend to have a smart sense of humor and wit without degrading or putting down others. They're an example of James 1 and 19, which says to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. They draw from and submit to scriptural values. This takes over instead of emotions and helps prevent poor decision-making and emotional outbursts. Do you know how there's an intelligence IQ? Well, there's also something called emotional IQ. And I find that spiritual mature people have a high emotional IQ, all right? Costi Hinn once said, it is a mark of your maturity and self-control when you can manage your emotions enough and understand someone you differ with, all right? Period. That's the first sign. The second sign of someone with spiritual maturity is they listen more and talk less. I will say this is something that God is still working on me with, and I'm trying to be more intentional about. And just a quick side note. Usually, a sign of something that you need to work on is if somebody else is doing it and it irritates the mess out of you. So there's this group that I'm a part of, and the leader, I feel like she does not listen to others. I feel like she overtalks and overspeaks. And I'm also in another group where it's not the leader, it's a member of the group who overshares, overtalks, will just go on and on and on and on. And I find myself getting irritated. But God revealed to me, like, sometimes you can be like that in your conversation, Tari. That's why it's irritating you so much. So I don't like the way that feels when that happens in conversation. So I'm trying to be mindful of when I do it so that I don't make others feel uncomfortable. All right. That's just a quick side note. All right. So like I said, the second sign of spiritual maturity is they listen more and talk less. So we mentioned James 1 and 19 before about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. People living out the scripture tend to be more interested in the person they're speaking to and don't get into unnecessary arguments. They're not easily offended either. I read a post on social media once that said, an immature Christian is hard to please and easy to offend. Luke 6:45 says that a good person brings up good or bad things depending on what's in their heart. Out of the heart, his mouth speaks. Controlling your mouth has a lot to do with what's in your heart, especially on social media. Everyone is a hammer looking for a nail, but these people are different. They are the people that are trying to understand before they're understood. They try to respond to people out of love for others rooted in a love for God. They consider the other person's perspective, even if they disagree, but they're not doormats to lousy theology either. They can navigate and discern what topics to avoid and which to engage in, and can have thoughtful discussions without arguing all the time. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, a harsh answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. These people also look to others for spiritual advice and accountability, allowing others to point out their flaws. So far, this is just confirming everything that we talked about earlier in the episode. All right. The third sign of spiritual maturity is that they have a sense of humility to them. Okay. They don't put themselves above others. I've learned from watching these people that they're here to serve, and that's what ministry is about for them. Not being known or noticed, even if they are well known. They have a healthy sense of confidence, but typically these people look to others. They're not always doing this to teach them things, but instinctively know to ask questions, get to know others, and respect people as being made in the image of God, especially if they disagree with them. They don't demonize and rebuke everyone and everything that they disagree with. They display love as outlined in 1 Corinthians 13. They're kind, patient, not boastful, lovers of truth, and seek after God's glory, not their own. In my experience, these Christians don't just boast that they have discernment or are humble. They show it. They don't need praise from people. They do what they do to please God and God alone. They're just not jerks about it. This is typically displayed in how they treat, talk to, and love others. When they make a bad decision, they have enough wit and humility to know they need to make things right and admit that they are wrong. They don't get super defensive and take steps to change if needed. We touched on that before. If you feel like you don't do anything wrong or no one can correct you, or you never do anything wrong, like, that's a sign of immaturity. All right. We've got two more. The fourth thing for a spiritual maturity, or a sign of spiritual maturity, is they have self-awareness. We touched on this. A spiritually mature person can read the room, child, and has the insight to know how they sound to other people. They display a careful social balance in their interactions with people. They can hold themselves accountable in conversations and know when they need to step back from any situation and reassess their feelings. They realize they're representing Jesus and that their actions and words have consequences. Woo, child. We literally touched on all of this. More than that, they have enough insight to know how their actions and words affect others. James 3 has a lot to say about controlling our tongue. He compares the tongue to a rudder that controls an entire ship. Verse 5 says, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great fire, can set a great forest on fire. James 1 and 26 says, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Y'all, that self-awareness piece is really, really big. So back to the example that I gave in that group, I'm realizing that these women don't read the room well and don't pick up on social cues. Like if they're just talking too long or always interjecting, you can kind of see some body language with that, right? And to me, this is a sense of like pride or like, well, I know something important, so I need to share it and people need to listen to it. No, it's okay sometimes to, for one, be self-aware of people's nonverbals when you're speaking. And it's a sign of immaturity if you feel like you always have to be the one talking or sharing information and that your information is the most important. And there's this saying, if you're the most important person in the room, then you're in the wrong room, okay? Everybody has something to add to it. So that's a great point that I'm glad that was pointed out here. All right, and the fifth and final sign of someone who has spiritual maturity is that they have healthy boundaries and actual discernment. Not every whim or feeling is seen as a sign from God or a move of the Holy Spirit. And don't just take everything they think, feel, or hear as the Holy Spirit speaking to them. They also don't boast about how discerning they are. They just are. They model discernment instead of paranoia. They also don't brag about how many spiritual experiences they've had, how intense they were, or how smart they are. They're typically the people who enter a conversation thinking they can learn something from another person, even if they know a lot more than they do. That's not the attitude they take. They also know when to say no and when to say yes. A spiritually mature person knows that no can be a very healthy word. They know how to honor God in their time and know their personal limits. They have enough sense to know when to engage in conversation, events, or activities, and when they need to back off. In the same way, they also discern when they need to be where God wants them to be. They wait on God in prayer and scripture reading instead of relying on feelings that change every day. So, in short, they exemplify Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And as well as Hebrews 3 in regards to holy living. So by their fruit, you will recognize them. And I've done episodes in the past on, I believe it's called Character Traits of the Fruit of the Spirit. And that's really what it boils down to, like that good character, how you treat people, you know, when they're around, how you act when no one is around, your integrity, your heart, your spirit. Like, I believe that's what spiritual maturity is. So as a quick reflection, after hearing everything today, how would you rate your level of spiritual maturity? Okay, on the scale from 1 to 10, would you say like you're super mature or would you say that you have some work to do? I feel like there are some areas that I can still improve and work on. But as I look back, I realize that, oh, girl, you have come a long way and you're heading in the right direction. Okay, so that is all I have for you all today. Be sure to follow me on both Instagram and Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you listen to, as well as the YouTube channel. If this blessed you, be sure to share it out. Be sure to rate and leave a review. I'm so excited about the review that I did get in March, and I want to start sharing the reviews here on the episode. So I'll probably do that the next episode, share a review from one of our listeners. All right. I appreciate you all, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.